Blog Talk Radio.
Dennis Lies. Dennis Lies. Dennis Lies. Dennis Lies. Let's go. Let's go.
Man, that's how we're going to do this, man. We're just going to go right into the topic for a minute. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm guest. Y'all heard my intro. Dennis Live on the Pastor Mo Show. Man, that brother, that Pastor Mo, I don't know what to say about him, man. That guy there, he be coming up with some good ones, man. Well, anyway, man, today's topic, man, we're going to be talking about State of the Union marriages. Oh, man. So if you're married, man, this probably be something good for you if you're thinking about getting married. If you, you know, had a divorce and you want to see what's going to happen when you get married, it's something for you. Well, not when you get a divorce, you want to see what's going to happen. I guess the divorce thing ain't really in the picture thing no more. But if you decide to get remarried, it's what it is. So, you know, we're going to do some things here today with Pastor Mo. And let me give y'all a little brief about Pastor Mo, man. Pastor Mo, man, is this guy here. He's a very very loving dude, man. He's my best friend, my pastor. He's a spiritual advisor. He gives out great advice. I don't know if you heard the last show, last Thursday, man, but, you know, he comes up with some things that will make you say, wow, on these topics here, man. So, you know, I'm not going to delay it no longer, man. I'm just going to just go ahead and bring the man himself on out. See if he there. See if he even in the building. Let me even see if he even. Let me see if he in the back, y'all. Cause you know this guy here, man. He needs no introduction. But I'm gonna give him one anyway. You know, cause I don't care. It's the pastor. Let me see how can I do this here. I'm gonna do it like I normally would do for anybody else, man. If I even come up here. So y'all got to bear with me, right? Until we get the pastor his own little intro. You know, I don't want to be, how you say that? I don't want to be biased because, you know, my intro for Saturday night is off the chain. You know, and I've been getting a lot of heat on that too. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce the man of the hour. And man, you know what? This is what I want y'all to do too, man. Go to www.westonworld1. That's WESTON. There's world, WORLD, O-N-E. You got to spell out one. Go check out westonworld1.com, you know, and click on the link and follow us to get on the blog talk. Or if y'all just want to get on the blog talk anyway, leave some comments. You know, go to our pages, leave some comments. You know, let us know that, you know, we're doing a good job, we're doing a bad job, what we need to do with our job. And, you know, you people, y'all important. So I definitely need y'all to, you know, give us a little feedback. Let us know what's going on in the world. Or just let us know what y'all think about us, man. You know, I mean, is this something that, you know, that we should continue on doing? If it's something that we should go ahead and, you know, hang up our cleats, hang up our cords, I guess. Or, man, you know, give us a chance and let us see how we're going to get in. But I'm going to give him an introduction before I bring this guy in, man. Let me go ahead and do it like this. Yeah. Let's see. Without further ado, the man of the hour.
I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy.
Dennis, for a warm welcome, man. And
anytime, brother, anytime. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm excited. God woke me up this morning and started me on my way. I'm glad to be in the land of the living. I think God gives us an opportunity to worship him every time we wake up in the morning. And so I've been worshiping him today and thanking him for his grace and his mercy. And so we're just blessed and privileged, man, to be able to minister unto his people around a sensitive topic. Relationships, we know, Brother Dennis, can be a hard thing to deal with in this life. And if we don't have help along the way to help regulate our minds and touch our hearts, we can take the very foundation of a relationship and turn it into something we don't want to have anything to do with. And
that's right.
Tonight, we're dealing with marriages. And so on the broadcast that we have on a weekly basis now, thanks to you, Brother Dennis, for allowing God to use you with this vision. Yeah, and we announced on Saturday, I believe that was Saturday, we announced that kudos go to you for reaching the 10,000 follower mark, meaning that 10,000 people have visited or listened in along the way to the different programs that you're having on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so right. I'm glad to be a part of Thursday nights, joining you Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays to hopefully and prayerfully reach the people around this sensitive topic of relationships. And so, Brother Dennis, the broadcast that we're having on a weekly basis will talk about different topics that deal with relationships and anything dealing from friendships, marriages, relationship between a parent and a child, even relationships between siblings, relationships among believers. And so anything that deals with the relationship piece, God is in the midst of that. And so we want this broadcast to be dedicated toward trying to help people that may be going through different issues or problems in their relationships. The good thing about this broadcast, Brother Dennis, is that the Bible gives us perspective. The Bible gives us direction, and the Bible gives us a guide, if you will, to how we can help get our relationships back on track.
Right.
And so our show, this show, will be handling the issues within relationships from a biblical perspective. Amen. And so we know that the Bible says, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. And what that verse was saying is that they lack because, or they perish because of lack of knowledge of God and who he is. And so we look to factor God into our relationships that we may know a little bit more about him, and praying to him will give us a little bit more revelation about ourselves. And so, you know, we thank God for you, because this allows us to talk to God's people all over the country. In fact, because it goes over the internet, we could talk to people all over the world who have internet access. And so not only do we touch the people in Chicago and Illinois, but you've had callers call in from New York and Long Island and,
right,
and different Texas and Mississippi and Tennessee, and so all across, and California. And so all across the country, people are able to either call in or go to the website www.westonworld1, that's W-E-S-T-O-N, world, W-O-R-L-D, 1-O-N-E.com, and listen to the show, or they can simply call the number 347-838-9106 and be able to listen to the conversation. And one thing I like about this is it records. So if somebody missed it, they can go back and listen to the archive and get the information. There will be a lot of information given, and, of course, it's coming from the Bible. And not only that, but we want to have a discussion around these topics. We want people to call in and voice their opinion. This is a no-judgment zone. People don't know you, you know, so you can call in and feel free to express yourself. Therapy oftentimes come through conversation. And so if you can just get it out, and you never know, your words might help somebody else that's dealing with the same issue. And so we look for people to call in on the topic tonight, which deals with the State of the Union. We know that of marriages. We know that the president is about to give his State of the Union address about the state or the condition of the country. And so we're given the State of the Union of marriages based on the evidence and the facts that we have gathered to see exactly where we are and how we can get to a different place in our relationships and marriages, and what helps us get there. And so the article published by Time Magazine says 40% of Americans feel that the institution of marriage today is obsolete, meaning out of use or practice or not current. But in that same study, it reveals that 70% of eligible Americans have been married at least once. So that means that half the country feel that marriages are obsolete and out of date. However, they get married anyway. And so the question becomes, is it fair to say that marriage today is viewed more like a bucket list item than a covenant between the man, woman, and God? Are people getting married simply because it's something to do before they die? And could this be the real reason that the divorce rate is so high? So as you can see, Brother Dennis, we look forward to having a good program on tonight, a good broadcast on tonight, and we look to get some energy going around this subject.
Right.
It is our prayer that somebody will be helped along the way by getting information, and prayerfully God could give them divine revelation or confirmation in the situation that they may be dealing with. And so, Brother Dennis, if I may, I just want to pray to get us started. And then after I pray, if we can go to our first song selection for the night, we're going to start out right. We want God to give us victory in everything we do. And so we're going to hear Ty Tribute song Victory as we prepare our hearts to receive what God has for us. So I'm going to say a quick prayer. Father God, it is our prayer on tonight that something will be said, that something will come across this airwave or the internet that will help your people who are seeking wisdom, who are seeking knowledge, who are seeking wise counsel. We pray that somebody who is looking for a better way to handle the situations or issues that are going on in their relationships can find or hear something tonight. We pray that somebody that's just trying to make sense of it all, somebody that just got to the rock bottom, somebody that just ready to throw in the towel, that something can be said tonight that will also be recorded that they can come back and listen to that will help them along this way. And so we thank you, we love you, we magnify your holy name, we exalt you on high. Be our teacher on tonight, be our leader, be our guide. In thy son Jesus Christ's name we pray tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And praise God. So that's what we're looking to do, Brother Dennis. And again, man, I appreciate you and allowing God to use you and the gift that he has put in you for the body of Christ. So keep up the good work, and we can hear that song Victory.
All right, man.
Oh,
Between man, woman, and God? Are people getting married simply because it's something to do before they die?
Mm.
Could this be the reason for such a high divorce rate? Now, what I want to do, when I say bucket list, if you're not familiar with the bucket list, a couple of years ago there was a movie out with the main characters being Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholas, and these two characters in the movie were up in age and both had some health complications, and so they decided to come up with a list of things they wanted to do before they died. And so in the movie, it follows them as they went out and did these things that they wanted to do before they died. And so I have kept in mind the fact that with the alarming rates, or the alarming rate that we're getting divorced, or the alarming rate that our marriages are experiencing complications, or the alarming rate of people that just don't even want to deal with marriage at all, it asks the question, if we have that mindset, and 70% of people done got married even after half of them believe that it's an obsolete institution, are we treating marriages like a bucket list? Like, okay, I want to get married one day, and not look at marriage for what it really symbolized, not look at marriage and what God initially intended it to be, and not look at marriage beyond the wedding ceremony or the reception that follows. And so have we taken what I might argue to be the third gift that God gave man in the creation and turned it simply into another thing to do before we die? And when I say the third gift that God gave man in the creation, let me just give context to that. I'm of the belief that when God created man, there were many gifts in the beginning that he gave man. And without putting them in a particular order, I got 10 on the list, but I'm going to lift up 5 right here. The first gift, and again, this is not no particular order, one gift that God gave man was the body. The Bible says he formed man out of the dust. And so one thing God gave man was to make him, form him in the image and the likeness. He divinely created a man to the point to where he even gave man nostrils. And so he formed a beautiful body presented to the rest of his creation to be the first man made in his image and in his likeness. Man, the body of a man was divinely made. It was made able to carry out the work that God had set for him. It was also made divinely strong, that man would be able to have enough strength to carry out the work that God had for him. And so one of the gifts was the body. Another gift was the breath of life. The breath of life came directly from God into the body. So not only did God create or form this body, which was lifeless, but he also gave that lifeless body his own breath. And the Bible says that God breathed into the nostrils of man, and then he became a living being. So one gift was the body. Another gift was the breath. And another gift that God gave the man in the beginning of creation was a helpmate, a woman. something that was to identify, he could identify with. Up to that point, Adam could not identify with anything that looked like him, anything that felt like him, anything that, resembled him. And so God said it's not good for man to live alone, and so he gave him from his rib a woman. And so the third gift was a woman. The fourth gift was fellowship. He said to them both, be fruitful and multiply. That's fellowship, an intimate fellowship. They were to be fruitful and multiply. And one other gift, and I could go on, but I'm going to stop at five. He gave them or gave him the garden. And that was a gift because everywhere he looked, it was nothing but beautiful things, nothing but fresh things, new things. And how much do we like new stuff today? You can imagine everything being new, including him, including the woman. It must have been a joyous time and a celebratory experience. So the third gift of a woman for Adam constituted the institution, the covenant between man and woman, between God. And so have we taken the body that God gave us, have we taken our bodies that God has given us, have we taken the breath of God, have we taken the fellowship of God, and have we taken each other, the man and woman, and turned it into simply something to do before I die, really not adding God into the equation, really not factoring God into the relationship. It's just, I just want to get this wedding over. Have you ever heard somebody, I just want to get this wedding over with? I just want to get this, you know, this reception over with. I'm so tired. And we've turned this into like a routine thing where we, okay, I'm getting 23 or 24 or 35, and I better get it in before I get too late, just in case I got to start over again. And we have turned totally away from the initial meaning, the initial purpose of marriage. So when the question goes forward, the state of the union, where are we in our marriages today? Is marriage a fantasy that we chase after, or are we refusing to look at the reality of the way God intended marriages to be? Till death do us part. I'm under belief, after ministering unto people and many people who seek counsel in their relationships, that one thing that is true is that the enemy has tricked some of us to believe that marriages is not about God. In fact, it's to the point to where there are people that don't even believe in God that want to get married. And God created marriages. How do you participate in a marriage and you don't believe in the one that created marriages from the beginning of creation? And so that's one trick that the enemy plays on our minds, and this is why we have to have the whole armor of God on, because the enemy is set out to have a spiritual warfare and is directly attacking God's institution. Another thing that comes up in relationships and marriages is when something goes on in the marriage, and because there is a lack of connection to God, people in the marriages turn to other people who don't have a connection to God and seek counsel. One of the most disturbing things I have come across is that there are people who might go through something in their marriage and they'll go to somebody else who's having a problem in that marriage. And so it's almost like the blind leading the blind, trying to find the light in a dark room. And so we have to understand that in marriages today, any marriage that have left God out of the marriage that God initially created, you already starting at a weak state. So the state of your union is on the verge of separation. I don't care if it was the whole ceremony of getting married with the preacher in the midst representing the connection to the Father to give you that visual picture of when you get home that it's no longer the priest that stands in the middle of the marriage, but it's now God in the place of the priest. And so when you leave the altar, when you leave that church or that hall or wherever you got married, when you get back home, the vision of you and that and your mate standing at the altar with the man of God in the middle, now when you get home, that doesn't go away, that doesn't dissipate, that should remain as a as the structure of your family. And so God has to be in the picture, or we've already started from a weak point. And so the state of our marriage without God is headed for doom. And so the issues that may come up in marriage is the not believing or having one person believe and the next person don't believe, and there's no effort to get on one accord to bring that other person to believe. That can cause an issue in a marriage. We have submitted ourselves to each other and not submitted ourselves to God, and not having practiced being submissive to God, and not having practiced humbling ourselves before God. And then we get into a marriage which deals with issues of humility on both sides, and we struggle with it. So what happens, we get into a power struggle, we get into a tug of war, if you will, because now neither one of us know how to be humble, neither one of us know how to submit, neither one of us know how to look at the bigger picture and go to God. And so we want to be right. And so you got to want to be right marriage without seeking God, or without God being in the middle of it. In the state of the union gives the impression that you wasn't in it to work it out anyway. You was in it because it was something to do. And so as we prepare our hearts for our president, and as we look at him preparing to give us his State of the Union address for the country, he is basing his communication on the evidence and facts. And as we look at the state of marriages, the State of the Union of marriages, as God designed it, based on the evidence and based on the facts, we can come to a conclusion that the state of the union of marriages is in danger of becoming extinct, or it's in danger of the continued perception that people are getting married not because of death do them part, but they getting married because simply they're planning another party, or they're trying to keep up with the Joneses, or they want to say, yeah, they you know, maybe everybody on their block married, and they shacking, and so we might as well get married. I don't know if you heard somebody say that. You know, I've been with this person for 7 years, so we might as well get married. And so we have to be careful when we enter into marriage that marriage is all about God. It's all about God. And when you try to get married and leave God out of the equation, you're already starting from a weak position to have a lifelong journey with somebody when God is not in the picture. So I just wanted to give a little context, lay a little context now as we continue the discussion on this evening about our state of marriages. And not only how it affects the people that got married, but now you have children in a marriage that was just simply done because of something to do. Love really wasn't a part of it. Unconditional love was really not a part of it. It was something to do to get it over with, if you will, or let's do it, you know, so my people won't be tripping, that type of thing. And so we have to bring the consciousness and awareness back to where the state of our marriages are, seek God for his help, and not take his gifts, his many gifts that was given in the creation, gifts of the body, gifts of the breath, gifts of companionship, gifts of fellowship, and the environment that he has placed us in. We take all of his gifts and not use it and recognize him as being the supplier, not recognize him as being the creator, not recognizing him as being the Alpha and Omega, the all in all, but we leave him out of relationships, and then we wonder why we're going through as much problems that we experience. One other issue that come up in marriages, some people or sometimes we can inadvertently or unknowingly make the other person God before God. And so in marriages, you may have two people, one influences you more than God influences you. They don't want to go and hear nothing about God. They don't want you saying nothing about God. They don't want God. They don't want Bibles in the house. They don't want to go to a worship service. They don't want to be in the company of believers or none of that. And however, in your heart, you may say, man, I know I got to do this. I know I got to do that. But if I do it, they're going to be tripping. Anytime somebody will get mad at you for wanting to be in a place where you can receive some spiritual counseling, where you can be in a place where God can minister unto your heart so you can read the word of God, so he can touch your heart through his words, and that's discouraged, and you bow down to it, you acquiesce, you give in to it. When the Bible says we can love nothing or nobody more than we love the Lord, and we put a person above giving God his rightful due, you have then made that person your God. And what will happen is God will use that person, because you've made them your God, and will allow hell to go through your entire relationship, because the relationship is not lined up with God as the way he intended it. And so we hope and pray that tonight that we recognize the state of our marriages is in a bad condition. And we don't recognize it off of assumption, but there are statistics that point that out. There are studies that point that out. There is a host of information, not only online, but if you talk to some counselors and you have counselors that you can go to and call that are not spiritual counselors, that have studied and studied books and by authors, and if you go to even the spiritual counselors that rely on the Bible for the tool or the instrument to help people in their relationships, anywhere you go, the response will be, wow, relationships by way of marriage is in a critical condition. And those of us of faith will say it's in that condition because we have X'd God out of something he created, not only the bodies, not only the breath that he's given us, not only the fellowship that he allows us to be in, not only the companionship, but we have X'd him out of it, and we try to handle our relationships on our own. I say this, it makes no sense for us to have an understanding that we can be in a marriage and not have God as the priority. Not something to do, not go, you know, every now and then, but God has to be the priority. He is the originator of marriage. So if we're getting married, we're saying to God, I'm participating in something you created. And if I'm participating in something you created, it's almost like if you go and buy anything, usually instructions come with it. And so God has given us through his holy word not only how it all came about, not only how the trials and tribulations will come into a marriage, but he also leaves there for us ways that we can help each other make it through. This inspired word of God has power in it because it's coming from a power source. And so instead of going through different people who have written books about marriage, come to the book that was divinely created from the one that created marriage. You know, nobody can tell you how to build a Ford than Ford himself. and the people that worked with him. And so here it is. We have a tool in the Bible where God has inspired men to write his holy word. And so it has power, enough power, to help us make it through. So tonight the discussion is, if half the people say that marriage is no good, but over 70% of the people done got married anyway, why are we getting married? Is it simply because it's something to do? Is it simply because we try to keep up with the Joneses? Is it simply because we put it on our bucket list, I got to do this before I die? Or do we really truly understand, have we taken the time to understand how deep and how rich this union between man and woman can be, and how blessed it can be, how God can open up doors when he has joined together what no man can split apart. And so last week we talked about, in the wrap-up, the topic was internet relationships. Are they a trick or are they a treat? And the base for that was there was a study done that over hundreds of thousands of people are scammed in online relationships every year, but people keep going online to look for a relationship. And so the question was, is online relationships a trick or is it a treat? And the people who called in last week, the sentiment for the most part was it was a trick, in that it didn't allow you to see the real person. It didn't allow you to know the motives, and it's hard to know that anyway, of the real person, but it adds another layer of hiding behind something. And if you can fall in love with somebody without even meeting them, just by the words they putting on a screen, they could be copying those words from a book. They could be copying those words from a poetry album, or and it may not be original or genuine. And you fall in love with a computer screen with words on it. And so the sentiment for the most part was, some people said it could go either way, which is a true fact, because you can meet somebody and not know their motive. So it can go either way. But when we went to the scriptures and we looked again on Adam and Eve, the Bible says that when God gave Adam Eve, Adam was excited about it. And when he seen Eve, he uttered his joyful expression and his of what his eyes had seen. And up to that point, his eyes had seen animals. His eyes had seen grass. His eyes had seen the things that God had created prior to creating him and prior to creating the woman. And so when God blessed him with this woman, he uttered these words out of joy. He said, "This is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And so he was excited to see her in the flesh. And so one thing about it is, God presented Eve in the flesh. And so if you want to know if you and a person could work it out, if y'all will be compatible, if you can work out a relationship, It's 50-50 either way, but I would rather God present that person to me in the flesh so I can see exactly. And sometimes your spirit will connect with that person's spirit. And over internet, it might come across deceiving, and you might be deceived into believing that you've fallen in love with a person, but their intent may be different than what you were hoping for. So Adam didn't have to worry about that. He didn't have to. He was presented Eve in the flesh. And the Bible also says that they were both naked, meaning that not only were they in front of each other in the flesh, but they wasn't hiding behind nothing. Nothing was separating them from seeing each other. And so that also speaks to hiding behind a computer screen or hiding behind how you can put words together and make good melody of rhymes and be able to play the game, if you will. We also talked about how you can switch your picture up. You know, you can put a picture of your good days, or you can go in there and dress up and present yourself totally not you, and make that person fall in love with you based on a picture. And then when it's time to meet, y'all never get together because they probably too embarrassed to say that that picture really ain't the real me. And so when you present yourself in the flesh, when you come not hiding nothing, not having motives, not having this mask on, but you just come and say, this is who I am. If you like what you see, or if you like what you hear, and we get together and fellowship, get together and share our ideas and have conversation in the flesh, you can see on my face what makes me happy, and you won't have to wait for the LOL. You can see on my face what makes me sad, and you won't have to wait for the frown face signature. And so it's something about being in the flesh, something about not hiding behind lies or not offering up what people want to hear, but just giving them the real. It's something about presenting yourself naked. And in our text today, we're not, or in our context today that we live in, we're not going to present ourselves naked without clothing, but we can present ourselves naked without hiding emotions, without hiding the truth, but letting people know exactly what we're about, what we're looking for, where we want to go, what we want to do, what we want to see in other people. And allow God to do the rest. See, we take God out when we get on the computer, and we feel like, well, I'm God now. I can make this person fall in love with me just by saying these words. And so when you present yourself in the flesh, not saying it is perfect, or that it will be perfect, but let's do it God's way and see if we can not be scammed so much to the tune of hundreds of thousands in this country and worldwide millions. And so the discussion tonight is surrounding the state of our marriages. Is it just something to do? And we're going to play another song. After this song, I see we got plenty of callers tonight. If you want to say something, if you want to ask a question or you want to share, only thing you have to do is press the number one. And when you press the number one, it will allow you to be for us to bring you on to the conversation so you can ask your question or you can make your comment. And we want to just put it out there right now that when you get your opportunity to speak or ask your question, we want to be mindful of everybody's time. And if we have two or three people on the phone at the same time, we don't want to talk over each other. And we'll try to moderate that as we move forward. But let's stick to the conversation, because there's so much in relationships. We can go from point A to Z. But we want to talk about and answer the question, are we getting married just to do something? And it's really not a big thing 2 years from now when we want to separate or we want to let the relationship go. But it's just something to do. And so after this song, we're going to come back, and we're going to take a couple of calls. And And we want to hear your view. We want to hear your point around this topic. You know, is it just another item on the bucket list? Is God not even a part of it? Is it just meaningless? Is it just something to do? So we're going to play this song, and then when we come back, we're going to get to the phones. Remember, just press number one if you want to say something. Press number one.
Come on.
Praise God. We are back, and a lot of information was given out in the first segment. And right now, I wanna bring Brother Dennis back in, and I wanna just get some feedback from him, and then we got some callers in right now, and we wanna get those callers. If you wanna say something, callers, you have to press that number one, and then we'll be able to bring you in. But we got a caller from Zion, Illinois, we're going to bring in. Then we got a caller from the south side of Chicago we're going to bring in. So if you want to say something or add to the conversation, just press the number one on your phone, and it will allow us to bring you in. So, Brother Dennis, give me your take on that, on the topic of the State of the Union, marriages.
Oh, man.
If 40% of the people say that it's obsolete, that it's no good anymore in the present day and time, but over 70% are marrying anyway. Are people just getting married just to fulfill a bucket list item?
Oh, well, you know what? I think a lot of people, you know, get married. It's like a 60-40 type of feel, you know, because some people say they want to get married, you know, and they try to just do it just to be doing it, you know. And then you got the other people on the other hand that say, you know what, we don't have babies, you know, this is my high school sweetheart, I can't find nobody else, or I'm dependent on this person because of financial reasons. You know, I think those, like, some of the natures of the beast, you know, far as people getting married instead of just saying, you know what, I really, truly love this person. I really, truly want to be with this person. Or even like you said, having God morals, you know. You got to think about it. I'm three and a half years in on it. And when I look at it, you know, you got to put God in front of anything before you can go in with everything. And a lot of us don't even know about that because we look at it as, you know, like our grandmothers back in the days, mothers, you know, they go to church and we didn't want to go to church. So how could we even know who God is or Jesus is? And, you know, I'm really learning because, you know, I'm following up on you and you teach me along the way as we go. And mean, some stuff that, you know, instilled it in me as far as with my, you know, my grandparents, my mother, of that nature coming out of the, you know, say coming out of that Christianity. You know, and one thing that wasn't really in my household, because I would think I was in the, you know, not think, but I was in a single family household. My mother raised me, my grandmother raised me, and my grandfather or my father wasn't there. So marriage wasn't even discussed in my household. I had to pretty much learn as I grew up, you know, learn along the way. You know, that's why when I think about it, it's like, okay, it's a big step, you know, on trying to find the right one. Well, I know I got the right one now, but just knowing that in marriage is kind of hard now. So I would say, you know, just to make a long story short, I do think a lot of people use it as a bucket list, you know, or infatuation, you know, how some people say we got to wait to do what we got to do. Before we get married, you know, of them natures, and some now doing it under the act of God, how can they get married and put God in there when they don't even go to church, when they don't even study, or even really know who God really is? You know, it's still people right now of our age right now today still don't know nothing about God, Jesus, you know, the Bible, you know. So how can we even put that in a formula, you know, with the marriage? So I say, you know what, I'm 60-40. I say 60% is, I think a lot of people put it on it's the to-do list, the bucket list, like you said, Fastmo. So that's what I'm gearing towards, you know, just to get it out the way. That's how I feel. But that's my personal opinion. So callers, y'all on the line, y'all better not, you know, okay, y'all can bash me. I don't care. I'm just, no, they can't wait to get on the live basketball, right?
Right. Well, let us take some of these calls. And you hit it right on, Brother Dennis. The board is lighting up. So we're gonna hear from this caller, Sister Tammy, who's joining us from Zion, Illinois. Zion, Illinois. Sister Tammy, are you there? Hello?
It's probably, I know she said her phone was going in and out. Let's see.
Sister Tammy? Okay, well, we're gonna go to another caller here who, if Sister Tammy, you can hear us, we'll bring you back in. If your phone come back in, we're gonna go to this next caller here. Let me see. Okay, caller, you on air with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis. What's your name and where you calling from?
Their phone number is 773-964. That's the first three.
Hello, caller.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, what's this cool? Is Davinia. I'm calling from Niles.
Evangelist, how are you today?
I'm good, and yourself?
Oh, I'm fine, and I'm glad that you called in. And what do you want to offer to the conversation about?
Well, I wanted to say people aren't waiting on God now. A lot of people just getting married just to be doing something. The Bible say, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. But a lot of people, they're just moving before God. They're not moving with what God is saying. I know so many people that have been married for maybe 2 or 3 years and divorced, and these are Christian couples. So I believe people need to just seek God more when it comes to marriage and relationship. So God could be pleased with it and not just be marrying each other just to be doing something because they want to do whatever. So like I said before, you could have a flesh mate, which is something that we choose because he look good or she look good, or you could have a roommate, someone you living with for 7 and 10 years and never get married, or you could wait on God for your soulmate, the one that he ordained for you.
And you said something powerful. That one word that you said, ordained, or that he has set aside for you. And one thing, my wife and I have been married for 15 years now, and we're not over 45. And that's equivalent in our day to our grandparents being married 59 years. Because
right.
It's hard to find people in our age group that's been married past, like you said, 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about it was I know I was blessed because when God presented her to me, I felt that I was no way qualified to be with her, but it was no way we wasn't going to be together. I don't know if that sounds made sense, but there was so much stuff that happened in the midst that could have totally drove us apart, but we're still here today, and so I know that God had his hand on it, but you're absolutely right. Most of us are looking for our mate, but not looking for God to present us with who he wants us to be with. Praise God. I'm going to keep your mic on.
Okay.
And I'm going to bring a couple other people in, and I'm going to let them kind of express their point. And then, Evangelist, you're more than qualified, to speak to this topic. And so I want you, if you feel the need to say something, go ahead and say something. I'm going to try to get Tammy back in.
Okay.
Let me see. Tammy, are you there? Okay. Let me go to Brother Gerard. Brother Gerard, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. You home with I don't know if you heard the topic. The topic is 40% of Americans feel that marriages, the state of the union, marriages are obsolete. That is not good. And so, however, 70% of their marriages have at least one. So are people getting married simply because it's something to do? It's something to check off the bucket list?
I think it can go either way. I think it all depends on how you're looking at it for male and female. The male, I'm gonna start with the female. I think the majority, not all, the majority of the female, just speaking from the worldly term, is that I think it's more of a bucket list. There's more to show up another girl to saying that someone's marrying me. And it's, you know, a woman is, you know, is trained to, from birth to all the way down from playing with baby dolls, they dream of the big wedding day. That's why you got Ken and the baby dolls, they don't want to get married. They prep themselves for that moment. It's day to day, you know, far, you know, and I think that if they don't get married, it seems like there's something missing. They're incomplete with something. So they put pressure on themselves and they put pressure on their mate to, you're going to marry me after a certain amount of time. And I think that one goes back in the male perspective to say, look, since we had these babies, and the female would tell the guy, we need to get married, you know, especially if you're in church, you know, it's already you did wrong by having babies out of wedlock. The pressure is on you to marry this woman because you produce children or you shack it out. Which, you know, like the evangelist said, if it was done right and been patient, you know, you'd appreciate that one a lot more, you know. So I really think that just on the worldly terms of that, because that's what a lot of people are based on, is marriage is more on the male side of more of a let me do this because I got children with this woman and I don't want to see another man up on my baby mama, or I don't want to see another man raising my children. So that's why the man marries the woman, to try to put significant captures or a locking the girl down, and the woman will want to marry the man because, or she put pressure on the man to marry me because of the time invested and the much they have put in. So on the spiritual side, hallelujah, thank God for your conversation, how you broke it down, is that marriage, I think marriage is deeper than just a relationship. I think marriage is broke all the way down from the birth of Christ. Like Mary, the guy's mom is Mary. Mary and age is life. Age is forever. You know, when you're born, you have an age. When you die, you have an age. So if you marriage, you that means love this person forever. So if you love your children, if you love your mother, you more love your brother, you love your friend, that marriage, you love them, you want to commit to them forever. So if we really look at marriage as being a part of God, which God is a gift, it's a constructed thing from God, saying you find this person is a good thing, this person is a good thing. You would never divorce that person. You would try to work it out. God married us when He gave us life. So if He quit on us, you see what I'm saying? This thing can get ugly. So I just think that we really look at marriage as a really deep thing, as a gift of God, and knowing that to get really serious about it. So you really want to pull that trigger and marrying somebody till you know it's for real. You know, it's a lifelong investment. So I think on that level, I think that if people look at it spiritually, they will lock it in.
Amen.
They will lock it in.
Amen. Now, Brother Gerard, you hit on a lot of good points. And one thing I have come to realize is sometimes we forget whose we are. And by forgetting whose we are, we forget the connection that we have with him. And so what happens is once we find out that, you know, going back to what I said about the gifts that God gave us, one gift that God gave us was the body. If we don't recognize that our body is his, then what we do is we think our bodies are ours. And so we start using it for the wrong reason and the wrong purpose, and we don't have accountability for it. We throw it out there. We use it for personal gain, for satisfaction. And if we don't know that the breath we breathe, the air that we breathe every day comes directly from God, we don't have an appreciation. And if you can't appreciate him, it's hard to find a true appreciation for somebody else. And so we looking to help couples get to a better state in relationships, in particular in marriage, by simply getting reconnected to God in a way in which the understanding is lifted. Going to church does not necessarily guarantee, like Evangelist said, that you're going to have a successful marriage. No, because there are a lot of people in church that are still seeking God. They may not have found him yet, and they're looking for him. And so they may be sitting in the pew, but the enemy has attacked their mind to the point to where nothing that is being said from the pulpit or in prayer is reaching their heart, because they're just coming, just like a marriage, they're just coming because it's something to do. And they can go home and say, oh, yeah, I just came from church. But it's not about being in the sanctuary. It's about recognizing that you are the church. We are the church, the body of Christ.
Mm.
And so it don't matter where we are. We can be in a living room with two or three of God. We can. It don't matter where we congregate, where we meet up at, but we have now become the church because we are the body of Christ. And so we have to get past that misconception that being in a building that's a brick and mortar constitutes spirituality. No, it's the faith that comes from within. And not faith in faith, but faith in Christ that takes us over. And so hang on, Brother Dennis. Brother Gerard, I announced the wrong name when I said Tammy. It wasn't Tammy. It's Vernelia, I know I'm saying it wrong, but I'm going to allow her to pronounce her name correctly. That's why she didn't respond, but she's been on with us from the right up at the top of the program here.
That's Verania.
Verania. Yeah. Pardon me for calling the wrong name.
Okay. I get that a lot.
Praise God, but I'll go ahead and add to the conversation right here.
Okay, well, this is what I feel. A lot of people are getting married just to have something to do, and they don't really realize that marriage is a design by God or of God. And they need to understand that in order to have a healthy relationship with each other, that you got to have a healthy relationship with God.
Amen.
And, Okay, I think first you have to have a relationship with God in order to have a relationship with someone else. And I do know a lot of people that have relationships with God, but, you know, or they say they have a relationship with God, they'll go to God for salvation, but not for a more intimate relationship with him.
Mm.
Like, you know, when something's wrong, they ask God to help them out. When it hurt, they ask God to heal them, but they're not asking God for other things, like, you know, for his forgiveness, for other things that you do on a daily basis. And that's a misconception for a lot of people. They don't understand that you got to go to God for everything, not
Amen.
For things when it's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, yeah, that's my take on it. I've been married before. Actually, I'm still married, but me and my husband are not together in that type of way, but I'm not with another man at all. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not looking to get remarried at all. I mean, because mm-hmm. it's really hard out here to find someone that you want to marry and that's going to do the right thing. It's just not going to happen for me. And I'm not even looking for it. Me and my husband are actually still living together. We're raising our kids together in the mm-hmm. same household, and it's working out very well, if I say so myself. I mean, I understand that a man has his needs, but that's not what I'm into right now. I'm into finding my way back to God.
Mm.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Praise God. Praise God. Evangelist, you want to say something right there?
I would just encourage her to seek God and in this time, and I believe that He's going to bring restoration in your life, per se, and healing in your life, and just seek Him in this season like never before.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we have a lot of that, believe it or not. You have people that have reduced themselves to a partnership. And I'm not saying this is what you and your husband have done, but I'm
No, it's okay. That's fine.
Just hearing some of the cry of the people. And then I'm gonna bring this next caller in. But there are couples who have decided to live in the same household and are still legally married,
mm-hmm.
But are not performing as husband and wife. But are actually just there because it could be the kids, it could be for financial reasons, it could be a litany of or a list of reasons why they stay together. And one good thing about that is if there's ever a time where divine intervention can happen, you never know when it will happen. You don't know how it could happen. But if you're in the same household, Lord have mercy, maybe a breakthrough can take place versus one person on this side of town and another person on the other side. Now, I'm not talking about if some abuse is going on. I'm not talking about that at all. If it's a physical abusive situation, if it's a verbal abusive situation, if it's an emotionally abusive situation, I'm not advocating at all staying in a household no matter what. What I am saying is that if there are some disagreements that are going on in the house and it's nothing that is harming you or harming the children or harming the man, and if there's a possibility of God coming in and turning a messed up situation into a straightened up situation, if the Bible is in the home and if prayer is in the home, and if there's a willing heart in the home, then God can work with it. And so, and if the prayers are not filled with motives, He can show enough work with it. And prayers filled with motives are there's something behind you praying, and your heart is not right. And so when your heart is right and you go to God and you ask Him and you put it at the altar and allow Him to deal with it, and if it's in His will, it will come to pass. And so being in the household ain't necessarily a bad thing. Also, you know, protection. That's one thing we're supposed to do as men is protect our women and our children. And so even though right now it may be a situation where you're not speaking or whatever the situation is, at least somebody in the house can protect the family. And sometimes God will bring about, like the evangelist said, restoration through protection. Lord, have mercy here. So what God want to do, He'll do it. And so we pray for your situation. And whoever else that is inspired by you sharing that, we're encouraged by by them listening and hopefully can receive some enlightenment. So I'm going to have you stay on. I got this next call I want to bring. I got two more callers now. I want to give everybody a chance to get in here and say something. So stay on. So just know that your phone is still on and we can hear everything. So if you need to mute your phone, you can do that. I'm going to bring in this next caller. Brother LB, are you on the line right here?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Oh, man, I just want you to know, I was listening yesterday, man, and I heard you kind of giving your commentary against not a favorable view of people who are believers in God and in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I wanted to chime in, but I thought you was handling your own, man, and I wanted to shout out to you, kudos. But I would add just this one thing, and then I'm going to go ahead and let you get your comment in.
Okay.
One thing about it is whenever we encounter people that has set in their heart that the Bible is not what we believe it is, or that the faith that we believe in is not valuable or is not relevant today. One thing we can say, by not arguing with them, is any document that exists or have existed had a starting point. It don't matter what book you read, if it's the Torah, if it's the Quran, if it's the Bible, it don't matter what book you read or what document you have, even if it's the Egyptian scrolls, whatever you read, it started somewhere. It started with somebody putting it down and writing it out. So with that being the premise, the question now becomes, if somebody wrote it, who influenced that writing? And so
exactly. Before
we get our way into the African this and the African that, whatever document any historians read, they had to read something that somebody else wrote. And so the question becomes, what inspired them to write it? And so we believers of Christ know that when this book was written, it was inspired by God. And so I don't get into the argument, or have to get into the argument
I say this, Brother Dennis, and I go into what we're talking about today, but I say this, what my grandmama used to say, I don't entertain that foolishness. So at the end of the day, it was just foolishness, you know what I'm saying, and... You know, that's another topic that we could talk about off air.
But I just wanted to share that with
you. Yeah, I appreciate the support. And, you know, I had a couple of other people call in and listen to the conversation. And the reason why they didn't even move forward with the conversation with them is because of the same principle. You know, they didn't want to entertain the foolishness. I'm just going to say this real quick. You know, I am about to get married. And my blow-up doll, she don't cook, but, you know, at the end of the day, she don't talk back. I don't have to worry about neck rolling or anything. She stay in her place, you know, as long as I don't put her in hot areas, I won't have any problems. You know, I'm the king of my castle. I rule everything with her. And I just believe that this is a union. Nah, I'm just playing with you. I'm just playing with you. Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, I was just playing. I was just trying to lighten the mood up. The truth of the matter is this. Everybody who has spoken on the line has said more than enough. I really, you know, I'm really speechless at this time because it's nothing that I can actually switch off or on. You know, and say, you know, come against the grain with it. Everybody has said it exactly, you know, appropriate as far as marriage. This generation here is fed off of television. It's not fed off of books anymore. It's fed off of television, Hollywood, basketball wives, love and hip hop, you know, so on and so forth, confrontation. You know, you actually started to visualize when we were in high school, going into college, the confrontation between relationships and marriages when we watch Jerry Springer, you know. So at the end of the day, you know, it's a lot of us that are lost, but it's a lot of us are still finding our way back to the whole reason in the covenant between a man and a woman and why we should get married. It is a lot of commercialized stuff in it, and we've lost that way because we've lost that word. And when you don't keep the word close and tight to you, you know, that, you know, anything could be, you can make anything sound good if you don't have the blueprint. You can talk anything, but that Bible is the blueprint. And, you know, a lot of, you know, the truth of the matter is it's lost, you know. You go into people's homes. I'm going to tell you about this program we all used to watch, and this is to show you how lost we are as a people in our own personal homes. We all used to watch BET and MTV, How I'm Living. And the people would show you everything in their house. They show you the bedrooms. They show you the cars. They show you the kitchen. They show you the little hideaway spot. They even showed you the master bedroom where all the magic happened. But none of them had a bookshelf in there. None of them had a bookshelf to read.
Right.
Not even in the kids' room. So information, the valid information that was even written, nobody had a Bible except two people, and that was Macy Gray and A Place for Worship was Macy Gray and Russell Simmons. Those were the only two people that had a place designated with all of this money in their home. They had books and A Place of Worship in their home. How many people can actually say that, hey, when I before I go to bed or when I wake up in the morning, I at least dedicate at least 5 minutes to the Lord and say I'm going to pray? How many people pray before their meals as a couple or as a family? Let me bless this food. Those are things that it's almost like a lost art.
And what I love about Brother LB is that he's going to bring us the real perspective and get our conscience thinking about stuff we probably hadn't thought about. And you're absolutely right. On those programs do impact, if we allow them to, how we act in our own homes. You know, so we entertain unhealthy visual conversation, if you will, and it plays on our psyche, and then next thing you know, we turn around, and in our own homes, it looks like something that could be on TV. And so
we have T.I. and Tiny. You have T.I. and Tiny. You have there within their home. Yes, they have a lot of kids, and they have a family. You know, he wind up marrying her. But not one time have you ever seen them go worship together, pray together, sit down with the kids and pray. You've never seen that. You have the one with Carmela Anthony and what's her name that he married?
Lala.
Lala. You know, Lala, full court, you know. Here she's running around here with her girlfriends, you know, all homosexual girlfriends and whatnot. And, you know, they trying to hook the homosexual up with it. I mean, we're giving off so many. And then she's cool with this homosexuality thing. It's like, it's you know, this is supposed to be just accepted in every ordinary life now, you know. So it also gives off to our young adults who start off dating and everything, a false sense of what relationships are really all about, you know, the struggle in order to get there. But if you don't struggle within even trying to read the word together, then it's lost, you know, not understanding that it was built on a bad foundation. You built the house on sand. You didn't build it on solid red clay or concrete. You built it on sand. So, and then you expect it to last?
And that goes right to the point. And Brother LB, I want you to keep going, but I got one more caller, man, and she's been on with it. And so I'm going to just bring her in. Everybody, Mike, is still alive. And so I'm going to bring Evangelist Jordan in from Joliet, Illinois. Evangelist Jordan, go ahead and give us your feedback. Definitely qualified to talk about the topic today. And I was blessed to go to your renewal of vows. And so it was a beautiful thing to witness. And I pray that God get me and my wife to that point where we can also renew our vows in such a grand fashion. And so go ahead and share with us on this evening.
Okay, thank you so much. And I was listening. I've been on listening ever since 7:30. And I heard what everybody was saying. And you know, you're a dynamic speaker, and I like sitting under you. The way you teach is awesome. But you were talking about the marriages, and what stuck out in my mind when all the callers start calling in. What stuck out in my mind the most is people get married nowadays for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. There is no love in a lot of marriages now. They get married so they can pay the bills. They get married for convenience. They get married to have babies. They get married so they can. I mean, it's just messed up. And this whole thing, what has love got to do with it? Love got all the things to do with it. Mm-hmm. People are getting married, and they're not even in love with each other, and that's why these marriages are not holding up. People need to fall in love all over again. First of all, they need to love God. If they love God, then they can love themselves. Then they can love somebody else. And prayer. And I like what the young man was saying about prayer. How you bring prayer into the home. I've been married now for 27 years. And God is just so awesome. He is just so awesome. Because I know when I came in out of the world and came into the church, my husband, he was still kind of hanging out there a little bit, but I got tired of it. I wanted to come on in. And I was praying and praying and praying, and it was always, Lord, change him, Lord, change him. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, you're always saying change him. He said, what about changing yourself? So when he said, spoke to me and said, what about changing yourself? From that point on, I've changed myself to better myself. And then sooner or later, he came on in too. But the thing about it, you have to have prayer in the home. And people got to realize, they got to stop getting married for all those unnecessary reasons. Get married because you're in love with one another, and you're going to stick together through the hard times, through the good times, and even when things go wrong, even when jobs are lost, even when loved ones are lost, you're going to still stick together. If you're going to be rich, you're going to be rich together. If you're going to be poor, you're going to be poor together. If you're going to suffer, you're going to suffer together. If he rain, I'm going to rain with him. If he fall, we're going to fall together. But the main thing is sticking together through thick and thin. And love.
Let me ask all the ladies a question real quick. And this is something that just struck my heart and to ask. Ladies are so prideful on the ring that they receive on their finger and the type of ring that they receive on their finger for marriage. And I understand that the ring symbolizes a unity between that I'm taking, that I have a unity between another person, a spouse. But if a man was to propose to you with a wooden ring or a rubber band.
I
can't afford the diamond ring, but here's the rubber band. You know, I would like you for you to be my wife. Would you truly, honestly, in your heart, accept the rubber band as being the engagement ring?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. And even better yet, you know what I would probably say? I'd probably get one from the bubblegum machine, okay?
Amen.
as long as I know his heart was right and he was sincere, see, we got to be able to look beyond what we see visual. We got to look beyond that and see what's in the heart. See, we know only God can see the heart. Man can't see your heart. He don't know what's in your heart. He don't know what your heart is made of. But God can see that. So when you meet somebody and you know they're sincere, first of all, you're going to know if they're sincere. A ring ain't even got to take part in it. It ain't even got to be a ring. It could be love. It could be love. And love will take care of everything.
Amen.
So many women, you know, I hear women all the time. I think we all watched that movie, the remake of Sparkle, and the guy, when he went to show her the ring, you know, he opened it up, and it was a picture of a ring. And a lot of people laughed, you know, and I was, you know, to me, I thought that was kind of smooth, you know, a picture of the ring. I can't afford the ring, baby, but listen here. My heart is in the right place. And just what you said, my heart is in the right place. I'm going to present this to you. And until I could afford one, I would hope that you could accept this as a token of my spiritual love for you. But so many women want, and I'm not trying to throw it back on the women, but so many women want the show instead of the marriage. It's a difference.
And
it's,
you know,
like,
you
want to see
me, they want the bling bling.
They want the what?
The bling bling.
Yeah. You know, they. I got married. Oh, girl, look at this. How many carats is it? You know. Oh, this is a look at here. This is the princess cut with the look at the baguettes on it now. I don't even know any of that stuff. Listen here. You know. I just want to be with you. How about that? Can I just be with you for the rest of my life? You know, and if things really get bad in this relationship, if things really get bad in this relationship, listen here, we not going to separate. I'm going to take the upstairs and you take it down. Or vice versa.
Right.
I just got the lawn cut just the way I want it. I got the lawn at just the way I want it. So we're going to go through this for the rest of our lives.
Right. And you're going to expect. And you, if people will experience stuff like that, because that's what I say, because there's no love, you know. If, like you just said, suppose he can't afford to buy you a big old ring. You know what I'm saying? When I first got married, my husband told me, he said, well, I ain't got no whole lot of money to buy no ring. I said, that's okay. I said, that money to go in the house, okay?
Exactly.
Forget that. You know?
And you know. And you know what? We are blessed to have this conversation. And what we want to do is we want to play another song, and then we want to come back, and we're going to have give everybody at least about 30 seconds to kind of give their final remarks on this topic. Because I know somebody is being helped by. Well, I pray that somebody is being helped by each one of our comments and our feedback and our dialogue, that they might be struggling with something in their marriage. And so, when we come back after this song, I want to give everybody at least 30 seconds to go around and say their final remarks, and then I'm gonna give my closing remarks, and then we'll go ahead and conclude the program. We conclude at 9:30 tonight, so we got about 15 minutes. So we're going to play one song, come back with a couple announcements, give everybody 30 seconds, and then we're going to close it out.
Let me hear Los Angeles make some noise in this place! Oh, this will not record. Get up on your feet tonight. If you can't know that it's not about you, but that it's about Jesus Christ,
we
you tonight. It's about Jesus. We didn't come here to look at you.
Not about us. I think that's something that we can say in our marriages when we looking across the room at somebody and we upset and mad. It's good to say, you know what? It really ain't about us. It's about Jesus. Let's see what he got to say about it. But just a couple of announcements. This coming Sunday, the 10th of February, I believe it's this Sunday, at Christ Church of Family Fellowship, we have our pre-Valentine's Day service. Where the theme of the service is Love Misunderstood. Love Misunderstood. And so we invite you all, those that are in the Chicagoland area, if you want to come out, you can visit our pages. You can go to Dennis Weston on Facebook, or you can go to Mo Sales, S-A-L-E-S, on Facebook, and leave us a message that you're interested. And we'll give you the address of where we meet. You can come on out. We're looking for men and women to come, men and women who are in relationships. You could come as you are, if you just come by yourself, but we want you to bring the person that you in a relationship with. We're looking for God to loose his spirit up in there. We're looking for you to leave better than you came. We're looking for information to flow that you can go to in the Bible and read it for yourself and sit down with your mate, and you all can have a conversation over those passages, over that scripture. And so kind of change it up a little bit. Instead of having a conversation, over anger, let's have a conversation with the Word and see if God got something for us. And so this Sunday at Christ Church and Family Fellowship, you can go to Dennis Weston, or you can go to Mo Sales on Facebook and message us and inbox us, rather, and we'll get you that information. We're looking for God to show up in that place. Also, Brother Dennis has made this available on three other nights. On Wednesday night is kind of an urban hip-hop show. Not an urban hip-hop show. It's kind of a educational show about culture, about learning your history. On Friday night is the hip-hop show, where hip-hop music is on display. And Saturdays is kind of a variety of different topics. And one show just recently did was about the new generation, talking about how they how can we do anything to impact this new generation and the killing and the violence. And so that was a good show. All of these programs, all of these broadcasts are archived, so you can go at your convenience and look at it. And then on Thursday nights, pass the word. Please spread the word. It's all about relationships, from different levels of relationships. Pass the word. Somebody would have benefited of being on this line tonight or being on the radio tonight. And so I'm going to bring everybody back in and just 30 seconds, go around, give your feedback, and I have a closing comment, and then we will conclude for the night. So we're going to start with Evangelist. You want to go ahead and give us 30 seconds of a closing comment?
You got two evangelists on here, right?
Evangelist Jordan.
Okay. I didn't know if she was talking about me. I know earlier was another evangelist on there. Well, basically, the topics that everybody spoke on tonight, they were very interesting, and it's good always to come in as a team and see what everybody's vision, is from how they see things in respect of it. I enjoyed it very, very much, and I hope I can take part in some of the things that's going to be taken on the other Thursday nights just coming forward. And I'll be listening in.
And then, if, you know, if I want to speak, I know I got to touch number one on the dial, and you can bring me in. But anyway, I pray your strength to the Lord and continue to do whatever it is God has for you to do in this ministry.
Praise God. I thank you for calling in, and pass the word to the, you know, everybody at your church. Let them, you know, let them know if they got some people who got some issues going on, that God has made a way through the radio, the internet radio.
Okay, then I sure will.
Sounds good.
Do you have flyers?
We're working on all of that as we speak. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When you get your flyers, just send them by your wife.
Will do.
Okay. Thank you.
Brother LB, you want to go ahead and give us 30 seconds?
Yeah. I like the thing that you said. It's not just about you. And if we look at it along those lines, that it's not just about you, it's about your partner and your mate that's involved, then you'll get a better sense of what a true marriage is all about. My parents have been married 43 years. They knew each other for 6 months and got married. They've been together for 43 years through a marriage. And understanding that he not only married, had a wife, but he also has a friend. Someone when things are all going wrong, when everything goes wrong, you still have a friend, someone to talk to, someone to lean on. Her strengths are his weaknesses, and vice versa. So everybody wins in the end. I love this show, bro. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Love you. I love Dennis even more because he introduced me to you. You know, so at the end of the day, blessings to everybody on the line.
Praise God, man. I love you too, man. Yeah, God got something for you. LB, if you ask Dennis, he'll tell you. Every time I hear you talk, man, I feel something. And so he got something for you. And it's just a twinkling of an eye. He can reveal it to you. And you can walk right into it, right into your season. So hang in there, man. Continue being positive. And I love listening to you on every show. I love that. And I haven't missed the show. I haven't missed the show. So keep up the good work.
All right,
Evangelist Davinia.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead and give us 30 seconds on the topic.
Okay. I encourage every man, female, to just wait on God before they even make that step in marriage, and also seek God before you get married to anyone, and even talk to your pastor, your leader, and get godly counsel.
Praise God. That's important, counsel. You know, getting a different perspective on it from God's viewpoint. And so that's very important. I thank you for joining us tonight. Evangelist, it just warmed my heart when we all get together again and talk about this subject. And I believe the more people that tune in will be helped by this the feedback that we give. So I pray that you join us every Thursday, whatever Thursday you can, you know, and spread the word. You know, we're gonna try to play some of the music from your choir.
Okay.
We got that CD, so we'll try to also pump that up. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Brother Gerard, you want to give us 30 seconds right here?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to thank you and Dennis for even creating this opportunity for allowing an outlet for people to come online and see and reflect what they have on their hearts and on their minds, especially relationship hour, which was very, very important. To be able to come on here and see things in a godly way. And I love what you got going on. I love the speech, and you already know as a brother, I love you. You know, so everything y'all been touching has been turning to platinum, which is a new thing, or gold, and I'm very proud of it, of how things have been turning out. And to sum it up is that I do realize that, I mean, I learned something. I'm always learning something. One of the advantages that said, she's been married for 27 years, and praise God to her for that, because I'm trying to get there. I'm married for 4, but this is my second. And then I know that when things don't go right, the biggest thing is learning how to stand still and stop pointing the finger. And I'm learning that you got to fix yourself, and you got to learn how to fall in love with yourself before you can love someone else. And so when you fix that and build that relationship with God, man, it seemed like you got a brand new woman all over again. It just like you got a brand new relationship. So I'm listening to you and just, you know, you can never ever be saved too many times. It's like I get saved all over again when I'm around saints. And I love it that these situations come about to allow us to be able to fellowship together. And it's not malice. It's not destroying ourselves. We're not on here selling drugs or anything. We uplifting God. And this is I praise God for these opportunities, outlets, that we can reach out and call somebody and get people on this line so it can grow. This is an opportunity. And the devil don't like us doing this. He's mad right now because we're fellowshipping right now.
Amen.
So we're going to keep this thing going. And I appreciate that food. The food for my heart and my mind, so I can bring back in my home and look at myself and tell myself I love myself in the mirror because I'm a reflection of God, and then I can go back to my wife and love her even more because I'm happy of who I am, you know. And that's what it's all about.
Praise God, man. Praise God. Let me get the next caller. Okay, go ahead, Sister Verenia. You want to give us a quick comment? Okay. Brother Dennis, I think she dropped out. Brother Dennis, you want to close us out?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. We got about how many seconds here? Let me just do this really quick. Thank y'all. God bless you. Good night. I want to thank everybody for calling in, man. I really had fun today. Tune in to us. Go to Western World 1, WESTON. World, WORLDONE.com. And just tune in to us. And, man, we love y'all. And good night.
Amen. Love you all. Be safe. And pass the word. Pass the word. Pass the word.